Hey guys, and welcome to the Charge Podcast. Today I have Tara
Legero.
I literally just asked her. I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot how to pronounce it again.
It's okay. It's a hard one.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. You are literally the skincare celebrity in Chicago. Oh, I feel like. Like, this girl is amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to do this today.
Let's start by having you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you like to do.
I am Tara. There are so many things I like to do. I like to just figure out different things to do in the city, different ways to explore the city. It's such an incredible place to live. I've lived here for 12 years. I feel like right now I spend a lot of my time working and working out and kind of balancing the two. And I moved here from Rockford. I lived in Illinois my whole life. Rockford is just outside of Chicago, and I've lived in the city for the last 12 years.
Wow. Did you move here for school?
I moved here to explore, to like expand my mind a little and to just experience more of a city life. There wasn't much happening in Rockford at all, not much opportunity or culture, and I just wanted to be exposed to something a little different. And I've loved it. I've loved living here.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
When did you become interested in skincare?
I have been interested in skincare for as long as I remember. I struggled with my skin. I had acne. Just starting puberty, I struggled with it and still am battling it every day. So I've always been interested in it and just was always so frustrated by the whole process. During that time, when I was a lot younger, there wasn't a whole lot of information out there. It was basically just like, go to the dermatologist and figure it out from there. But I was so frustrated with that whole process because it never worked for me. It never like gave me the results or the knowledge to take care of my skin.
Yeah. What did that journey look like for you in terms of going to the dermatologist, trying out different products?
Well, really disappointing, honestly. I would have this appointment that was a hard appointment to get, so I would have to wait like several weeks to even get in. And then the appointment, I remember just lasting about 5 minutes, and they would give a general look at my skin, write me a prescription, give me a topical, I would take this oral medication, but they wouldn't really tell me how to take care of my skin or like really how to use the medications or what to even expect with it. So I would just go home and start using it and be disappointed when I woke up the next morning and my skin wasn't perfect. But it would just be, you know, these medications would like make me nauseous or they just wouldn't work. And then the topicals would make my skin so irritated and flaky and almost worse. So it was just a really difficult time, especially at that age when your self-esteem
is just
like plummeting based on what your face looks like.
What kind of acne did you have?
I mean, you name it. Mostly it was like very persistent. So I definitely would get like the big cystic kinds, but I would just get one after the next. It would seem like one would clear up and then I would get another two or another three. Or it would be like right in the middle of my face. And I was a picker.
I was just going to ask you that. I'm like, did you have a picking problem? Like,
Sure did. Sure did.
How did you cut that out?
I haven't.
Really? Oh.
That's why I do what I do. Yes. It's a tough thing. It's hard to not pick, you know?
Yeah. When did you decide to become an esthetician?
Right when I got out of high school, actually. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know. I wasn't really interested in going to college, which was really frowned upon.
Right. You know? I can imagine.
I felt sort of like directionless, but one thing I really loved was skincare. At that time, like aesthetic schools didn't really exist.
Really?
So there weren't a whole lot of options. So I found one that was like 45 minutes from where I lived, and I drove to the school every day for, you know, the duration of it. And I really enjoyed the whole process of it. It changed a lot since then, though.
Yeah, I bet. Tell me about that.
The school that I went to was actually like a general cosmetology school. In this aesthetics department, my class was like six people. So it was very small. it was stuff that was just like a very basic kind of facial, very general skincare. I knew right away that I wanted to do medical aesthetics, but it wasn't a really big thing then. So trying to like figure out how to get there was a very difficult process. So I worked for a little while in a spa doing facials. And then I actually went to school for nursing because I was trying to combine the two and or figure out a way to combine medical and skincare. Nursing school was not for me at all. So I moved to Chicago to like do more aesthetics that would have more growth potential.
Got it. Right away, did you start working for Spa Derma?
When I moved to Chicago, I worked for a spa, like a day spa. And I did that for several years, about 8 years. And I still was kind of doing more clinical skincare. So I would do facials, but a lot of the clients I was seeing were also having issues with their skin. And for me, I was like, okay, I have experience in this. I can totally help you. So I did have access to chemical peels, like lighter chemical peels, and I would do a lot of extractions and kind of incorporate more medical stuff there. And then I worked for a dermatologist for a little while, which was very much on the dermatology side, which also...
What does that mean?
They did some lasers and stuff, but it wasn't really like skin treatments. It was more dermatology, more prescriptions, more the injections, things like that. Wart removal, like mole checks, things like that. Also, not really what I was totally interested in doing. I wanted to, again, like find a way to integrate the two and kind of bridge the gap there.
Got it.
So then I started at Spa Derma 3 years ago. And I've been there since. Yeah.
Amazing. How has your skincare philosophy evolved throughout this entire journey?
Gosh, that's a good question. I think most importantly, you have to use good quality ingredients. I think less is more. It's not about how many products you're using or the most beautiful package. It's about what works and keeping it simple.
Yeah. How do you find what works?
Trial and error. You can certainly find a professional to look at your skin, assess your skin, kind of help guide you towards things that would work for you. But still, even then, you don't know if that product will work for you. So sometimes it is a trial and error process.
I always wonder, how many weeks should I give my skin to tell me, is this working or is this not working?
About 6 weeks for products. It does kind of depend on the product. Some products will have more active ingredients like acids, salicylic acids, glycolic acids, retinols. Those tend to work a little bit quicker, but you do need to give your skin time to like turn over and adjust and really give it a chance to see the results.
I have so many questions for you. It was crazy when I posted on Instagram story that you were coming. I literally think I got the most questions that I've ever received for any podcast guest. I'm like, I am so excited.
I love that.
I want to start by talking about skincare routine, and I'd love to hear what your typical morning and evening skincare routine looks like.
Sure. I'm happy to share that. I do want to say, however, what works for me isn't necessarily going to work for everybody. So I really do try not to post a whole lot about my own personal routine, just because I don't want anyone to think that I'm only using the best stuff. I'm using stuff that works for my skin.
I love that. Yeah.
I think that's important when like looking for what to use. But for me, I am religious about cleansing my face before bed. I never sleep with my makeup on. Like that is something that I will always absolutely do because I am acne prone. I use a salicylic acid cleanser. And my nighttime routine, I actually keep pretty simple. I use eye cream, retinol, maybe I'll use a serum, and then I just go to bed.
Can you use moisturizer on top of retinol?
It's not wrong to do it either way. I personally don't. Moisturizer, to me, sits on top of the skin. And again, I'm going for like a less is more kind of thing. But if somebody feels very dry or they get tight feeling after they cleanse their skin, I don't think it's a bad idea to moisturize with retinol.
What about your morning routine?
My morning routine, Usually I work out in the mornings before I go to work, so I will just kind of rinse my face with water and I put on a moisturizer and a sunscreen, sometimes a serum. Sometimes I will do like a salicylic acid serum, because when you're working out, you're like creating a lot of sweat and bacteria, so the salicylic acid can kill the bacteria instead of like building up. And then, you know, I work out, I come home, I wash my face, I put on my antioxidant. And then other serums, I usually do a hyaluronic acid. If I do a moisturizer, I do it then. And of course, sunscreen. My skincare routine also changes based on what I need at various phases. If I'm breaking out a ton, I kind of focus on that. If I am feeling really dry, or if I had just done a treatment and my skin is kind of recovering, then I adjust my routine to that as well.
I always wonder, should you be changing your routine every few months, similar to working out where you kind of want to surprise your body a little bit? Is that important for skincare at all?
I think you want to give your skin time to acclimate to your products. So I don't think it's a good idea to jump all over the place. I also think it's kind of hard if you are incorporating a lot of new things. It's hard to figure out what's working and what's not working, what you might be having a reaction to. So give your products time. If you feel like something's not working, or if you feel like there's something else that you want to focus on, I think it's okay to look at another product or add something else in.
A lot of girls asked about a basic skincare routine on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. Everyone's skin is so different. Yeah. But for someone who has, let's say, pretty clear skin, what would you recommend in terms of what products they should be using that are relatively cheap? So I don't know if you have any drugstore brands that you support.
Well, the thing with drugstore brands is that they're often very diluted. The ingredients are not that great. So while the price tag might seem a lot cheaper, if you're using professional grade products, you're getting a higher percentage of an active ingredient, and it also is very concentrated. So that means you're using less and you're getting more of the ingredient that does what it's supposed to do for your skin. So if you're paying like twice as much for a professional product and you're seeing the results and you're using less, it's probably a better investment than something that's just over-the-counter drugstore brand.
True. What would you recommend then in terms of brands that maybe are more professional but still maybe lower on that price tag?
Yeah. Brands that we carry at Spa Derma, I actually think are really affordable. We have PCA, Glytone, SkinCeuticals, and I think those are all really good, clean, simple brands. Like cleansers can run you anywhere between $16 and $30, depending on what's in the cleanser. But again, very concentrated, and you're using probably about half as much as you would a drugstore cleanser.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming everyone should have a face wash.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone should have an exfoliator. What other products? Like, should everyone have a moisturizer? Are there anything else that I'm missing?
Moisturizer is good. I mean, I think for a good, like, very basic routine, cleanser, exfoliant, moisturizer, and sunscreen is imperative.
Mm-hmm. If you are using sunscreen, do you need to moisturize? Because I feel like sometimes it does the same thing.
So some moisturizers will have sunscreen in it. I prefer to keep them separate. I like a moisturizer for nighttime or, you know, whenever I want to use it. Sometimes I don't want it with sunscreen. In sunscreen, I like to reapply. Personally, I like zinc-based sunscreens. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to put chemical sunscreens on my face. I think they tend to be oily. I don't like the texture of them, the smell of them. I like to keep everything pretty separate.
What do you think about oils?
Oils for the skin. This is a big thing right
now. So trendy.
Oh my gosh. It's not something that I personally spend a lot of time researching because I am acneic. if I even think about putting an oil on my face, I will probably break out. And I see a lot of people who have been using oils. I really do see a lot of like congestion in their skin. When they cut it out, it seems to balance out a little more. So again, I'm sure there are different types of oils and maybe some are better than others, but I think in general, oil is not my favorite product that is out there right now.
Do you think serums are necessary?
I do. I think serums are going to be the ingredients that do your work. They're concentrated. And there are many different kinds of serums for different things. If it's a clarifying serum to help with breakout prone skin or a hydrating serum, I think it's the one that will really do the work that you really want to focus on.
And you put that on first thing after your face is clean?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Serums will penetrate more into your skin.
Okay. What about toner?
Different toners will do different things, but toner in general is meant to complete the cleansing process. So if you cleanse your skin and it adjusts the pH, it will balance the pH. It will also remove any residue left over from your cleanser or oil. So it kind of cleans the slate for the next product that you're putting on.
How do you put that on?
Again, depends on the toner. Some are sprays and some are like, you know, liquids that you would put on a cotton ball. I like the ones that are liquid and you actually are wiping away.
Yeah, because I have a spray one and I'm like, do I spray this on a cotton ball and then
yeah,
put it on my face?
You totally
What's the best
can.
Way?
You totally can. But I guess if you're someone who is more dry, you can spray it on and then leave it and let it absorb. And that will kind of do a different thing for you. It'll maybe hydrate your skin a little more, get the ingredients into your skin. But if you're spraying it on a cotton ball and then removing it, it can remove the residue and kind of, again, clean the slate after you cleanse your skin.
I really want to talk about retinol and how to pick a retinol that's right for you.
Yeah.
What tips do you have for girls listening?
It's so overwhelming.
I know.
Retinol. Because retinol is a big thing right now. And I think retinol is a really important thing. Retinol will change your skin the fastest, but there's a lot of different kinds out there. On one extreme, you have your prescription retinol, which really tends to be very strong. And most people are not able to tolerate that. It ends up like drying up their skin and becomes very irritated and red. And really with retinol, the best thing is like compliance, like using it on a regular basis. Your skin will benefit most from something you're using regularly. So on the other end of the spectrum, you would have something like a drugstore brand, which tends to be loaded with, again, fillers, and they dilute the main ingredient in it, so you're not getting the best result from it. And then in the middle, you have medical grade, which is what you would get at like a med spa or a dermatologist's office or a plastic surgeon's office. And for me, in my opinion, I think those are the best ones because they'll have other ingredients in them to improve the skin, whether it's lighteners or brighteners. And then there's also a unique delivery system with them usually. So you're not getting the full amount of retinol. It's more of a gradual absorption over the nighttime.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if you need a higher percentage of retinol?
If you feel like you're using it every single night, you're not irritated, and it's not giving you the results that it used to give you.
Mm.
But higher percentage or stronger is not always better. Again, I think it's just using it consistently is where your skin really benefits.
What about antioxidants?
Antioxidants are awesome. Antioxidants fight free radicals that cause visible signs of aging.
What are the different antioxidants?
Vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A are the main ones. Vitamin C is my personal go-to, and that's going to help prevent sun damage, fine lines, wrinkles, more for the long term of the skin. So maybe not something that you can necessarily see immediately, but you'll be happy that you're using retinol when you're like 50.
What about the others? Vitamin E, vitamin A?
So vitamin A is actually what retinol is. Vitamin A is a retinoid. Vitamin E is a hydrator, so that helps to moisturize and hydrate the skin.
Okay. And then when would you put those on your face?
Typically, they're done in the morning. Again, kind of depends on the product because some are nighttime antioxidants. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think your antioxidant is best done in the morning. I guess I'm speaking with the one that I use. Its job is to really work kind of as a sunscreen on the inside. Hmm. So it's preventing damage from deeper within, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. You mentioned that you use something for under your eyes, and someone wanted to know what tips you have for under eye bags and circles.
Yeah, so unfortunately, a lot of eye issues like puffiness, dark circles, can be related to not drinking enough water, mm-hmm. not getting enough sleep, and genetics. So sometimes those things are just stacked against you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I think water is super important, drinking enough water. Also, eye creams. I think eye creams are great and necessary and important to start early on.
How do you know if your eye cream is working? Like, how long should you give it?
I think it's also kind of one of those things that you're probably not going to see the immediate difference right away, but when you're older, yeah. you'll be happy that you're using eye cream.
If you could only splurge on one treatment that was more on the expensive side, what would it be?
Oh, there's so many good ones out there. I think a hydrafacial is a really good treatment that is great for all skin types. There's no downtime with it. It feels good and it addresses a lot of different things. There's good results right away.
What are those results right away?
I think it really helps the skin glow. It cleans out the pores. It hydrates. It just does everything that you need it to do. Cleanses, hydrates. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about LED facials? And what even is that?
I think LED lights are really great. They're really popular right now. On the HydraFacial that we do, we actually have a red LED light and a blue LED light. Red LED lights will help your skin to absorb serums. It helps to increase circulation, reduce inflammation. And then blue LED lights have a really great antibacterial effect. So it's really good for like breakout prone skin, oily skin, acne.
I think you can just buy that on Amazon too.
I would be careful with that because there are a lot of like artificial things happening out there and like on Amazon in general.
True.
So just be cautious. I mean, I think that you can buy them, but I think true LED tends to be more on the expensive side.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever recommend someone to buy that for use every single day?
Ooh.
No.
I don't know. I think it kind of borders on like a gimmicky, maybe not a great investment every day, but if you get a treatment and it has that option, do it in the treatment for sure.
Okay. What are some other gimmicky things that you've been seeing lately in the skincare world?
Oh, tough question. There's a lot of things out there that I think are like promising in office results. The microneedling rollers right now, I just cringe.
I saw that. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, those needles are not able to go deep enough to create any sort of benefit. Maybe topically for a day, but you're not seeing any long-term benefit from that. Also, they're very hard to keep clean. You can't possibly sterilize them, so they can harbor a lot of bacteria and spread a lot of that bacteria around. I've actually heard of some of my clients using them like over a breakout, not knowing how to properly use them, and then just like waking up the next day and having tons of breakouts after that. So that is probably, I think, one of the most dangerous things that's out there right now.
What else?
One of my friends was using this. She thought it was like an at-home HydraFacial at Bed Bath & Beyond, and it had like a suction and, I don't know, maybe some other serums. She showed it to me, and it ended up like creating a bruise on her face because I don't know if she wasn't using it properly or, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of things out there that maybe are not going to give you the results that you want if you don't know how to use them properly.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about jade rollers?
I think if it makes you feel good and you enjoy doing it and you enjoy that process, then do it. I don't know if you should be looking for any like long-term results with it.
Mm-hmm. Lymphatic drainage is also, I feel like, a very big buzzword right now. And it, of course, is a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever give yourself, I guess, a lymphatic drainage massage on yourself, or should we be doing that?
So lymphatic drainage is actually a very specific thing, and it has to be done properly in order to get the benefits from it. So there are people who are actually licensed in lymphatic drainage, again, because it's just a very specific thing. You have to use the right amount of pressure, and you have to start at the right place to see the real benefits from it. I haven't actually done it myself, but I've heard of people like doing this lymphatic drainage massage, like seeing somebody, a professional who does it, and they've had great results with it.
If you had to give someone advice on what skincare splurge they should do, so between chemical peels, microneedling, and laser, what would that advice look like?
See a professional for a consultation, for sure, because it totally depends on your skin. Like, you know, you could have a friend who absolutely had amazing results from microneedling, but if that's not the right treatment for you, you're not going to see the same results or love that treatment as much as she did. So everybody is just so different. And if you are splurging on a treatment, you really want to know what treatment is right for you.
What does laser do?
There are different kinds of lasers. So there are lasers that help with pigmentation. There are lasers that help with like resurfacing the skin. There are lasers that help with redness in the skin, like broken capillaries or rosacea. So again, another important reason to get a consultation and and have a professional really assess your skin.
A big question was about non-toxic beauty products and how important these are or not. So tell us, what do you think about that?
Are you referring to like chemicals in products?
Exactly.
Okay, so not all chemicals are bad, and not all natural products are good and meant for your skin. So it's unfortunately really confusing because it's not so black and white.
Right.
Like, I work with a lot of chemicals, and I think a lot of chemicals are really awesome for the skin. There are also some like great natural products, but maybe they're done in like certain combinations. So I think it's a tough thing right now because I think a lot of people are on more of the natural kind of path and they don't want to use chemicals, but you could also be missing out on a lot of the benefits that chemicals can offer.
Are there any products, or even I guess more so being specific, ingredients that we should be aware of to not put on our face that are in some products?
Do your best research on things.
Like kind of what we were just looking at this tea tree serum, and we saw like, okay, there's olive oil and like a bunch of different oils. And we're like, what? Why is that in here?
I'm not a super huge fan of heavy oils, but I also know like what to look for. So it can be a little bit difficult if somebody doesn't really know what to look for in products. It's a really hard question because again, it's just not so black and white.
So there's nothing scary that is in products.
I think that there are, like, if we're going, you know, over-the-counter, like, $2 cleanser from Walgreens, it's probably not going to have the best ingredients in it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put that in the same category as, like, a professional-grade cleanser that you're getting from Spoderma or, you know, like, any other place like that. So even though it's not all natural, it doesn't mean that it's bad for your skin.
Let's move on to acne.
Yeah, my favorite subject.
My favorite subject too. Why do we get acne?
Oh, so many different reasons.
Tell me them all.
I think, first of all, our hormones play a huge role in the way our skin behaves. So sometimes it's completely out of your control, which is the most frustrating thing. That was the case for me, and I know it's the case for a lot of other people as well. And things that like affect our hormones that we might not even be thinking about, like not sleeping enough, our diet, maybe something more like birth control, or I've seen some people who get an IUD and then it creates issues within their skin. exercising too much or not enough. You know, those things can also impact our skin. But it's not always just hormones. Sometimes it is really the products that you're using, or you're not cleansing properly, or you're not exfoliating. It can be a really tough thing to try to figure out.
Do you believe in those graphs that show the different areas that a pimple is in, and knowing like, oh, it's on your chin, this is probably hormonal?
I think that there could be some truth to it. Like, I do absolutely believe that if you're breaking out along your chin and jawline and like neck area, that tends to be a very hormonal area. But, you know, if you break out, like if you get like one pimple on your forehead, I don't know that it's like related to your liver or whatever it is. I think that, again, there are other circumstances. Like maybe you didn't wash your face before you went to bed, or maybe you like ate a ton of sugar and that kind of caused a breakout too. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't hold too much truth to that, but certainly it could be possible.
If it's hormonal, who do you suggest that we see?
Well, I do think that products and treatments can help with hormonal acne.
Really?
But if you get to a point where you are doing the treatments, you're using the products, you're religious with everything, you've given it plenty of time and it's not getting better, and maybe you're seeing some other issues too that could be hormone related, then I think you could see somebody like an endocrinologist, or maybe you could see your gynecologist that can kind of check your levels for you as well.
Mm. I want to talk about the different types of pimples. So yeah. What should you do with a pimple before it's white? The ones that I always call them like underneath, like underground pimples underneath the skin.
Yeah.
Not necessarily cystic, but you feel that
bump. But you
feel
like ruin.
Yes. What did you do?
You gotta let it ride.
There's nothing we can do?
The thing is, like, it just kind of depends. Each situation is so different, but if you go after it before it's ready, before it's like white into the surface, you're going to end up irritating the outside of the skin. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it worse. You're going to create a lot of inflammation, and then you're going to like scab the skin basically. So then you have a bigger issue. I think anybody who like breaks out and has like picked at that, we all know that picking at it is not going to end well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to make it better. The situation's going to end up worse than what you started with.
What about the little whiteheads, aka the ones that I have right now, that they're on the surface? You could literally probably, like, I could probably touch it and it would explode.
Right.
What should I do?
But you could also, like, leave it alone and it would go away.
The warm compress. I've heard that. Does that work?
For sure. Yes, absolutely. And I want to like stress, like, I'm a picker, so I get it. I get the need to like pick it. If you're going to do it, make sure you have clean hands. You're not using your dirty fingernails. I think it's best to do it straight out of a shower when the skin is soft. Use tissues around your fingertips. Typically with a whitehead, once you get it out, there's usually a little bit of blood at the end. So once you see that stop, if you go after it and nothing's happening, give it like two times and then walk away from it. Mm-hmm. Walk away from the mirror and just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. After you've picked it, what should you do to your face?
I think it's a good idea to put a spot treatment on it, a little bit of salicylic acid. I think it can kill the bacteria.
Do you have any brands that you'd recommend for that spot treatment?
My personal favorite, it's not necessarily a spot treatment, but it's an all-over serum, is from SkinCeuticals. It's Blemish and Age. Mm. And it is my all-time favorite, cannot live without serum. I recommend it all the time to my clients, and I think a lot of people really fall in love with it too.
Cool. What about blackheads? Do you like those strips?
I'm not a huge fan of those strips. I think blackheads, can be, if we're talking about like the congestion in the nose, those aren't necessarily blackheads, but it can just be like an overproduction of oil, which is inevitable. Like, that's always going to happen. The best way to remove it is through a professional treatment where you're getting the extractions.
Mm.
The best way to prevent it is through exfoliation, whether it's a scrub, using salicylic acid. Those things can kind of kill the bacteria and lessen the amount of congestion that's building up.
Is there anything that we can do to prevent acne before a period?
Salicylic acid, using a little salicylic acid.
Like using more than you typically would, or?
Just being mindful. You know, if your skin is like pretty clear day to day and you don't have too many issues, but you know that right before your period, you always get like one or two things popping up, maybe switch your cleanser around that time to a salicylic acid cleanser. But if your skin is pretty good, you probably wouldn't necessarily be using that every day. So just kind of incorporating it right before, I think, can help prevent that breakout mm-hmm. a little better.
What if you're already using that every day?
Maybe doing a mask, maybe trying like a specialty product, maybe getting a treatment can also really help. I think chemical peels prior to your period, or if you just kind of feel something happening, it's a good idea to get a treatment. I am very aware of what is happening to my skin at all times. It's like when you have acne, you have like PTSD.
Right.
And if you just feel something like not feeling right, it's time to get a treatment.
Yeah. What masks do you recommend for us to buy?
There are so many different kinds of masks. There are like...
Give us some of your favorites.
Clarifying clay masks. One of my favorites... A clarifying clay mask is from PCA. It's the black detox mask. Mm.
I heard someone recommended this recently. Yeah. They're like, you need to buy it. It's life-changing.
I think it's really great. It really, like, I will use that before I get my period, or if I just need to, like, control the amount of congestion that's happening. I feel like that really helps me. But then there are also masks that are, like, very hydrating and soothing and calming. And I think those are important too. There's one from SkinCeuticals I really like called Phytocorrective Mask. It's green and it has like this super calming, like cooling effect.
How often do you recommend that we do that?
I like to do once a week. And that's for me about as much time as I have to do. But I like to do it when I multitask. I will clean my house and have a mask on my face, or, you know, doing something else. So it's a pretty easy thing to incorporate, but sometimes it's easy to forget about it too.
What do you think about the Aztec Healing Clay? Have you heard of that?
No.
This, I'll have to send it to you. You can buy it at Whole Foods, but it's a powder, and then you mix it with either apple cider vinegar, honey, Greek yogurt, really whatever you want. You're like, nope.
I'm not a huge fan of like putting food on your face. I think that it can be very unregulated. Like apple cider vinegar is very acidic and can create pigmentation. You just have to be really aware of like what's going on your face. And food, I'm just not a big fan of. I'm not a huge fan of those DIY.
I was going to ask you, yeah, I was assuming you would say no, but I'm like, are there any DIY remedies that you would recommend?
I can't say that there are any. Again, I'm coming from an acne background.
Yeah.
So I'm very particular about things that go on my face. And I don't think that you're going to see good things if you are trying to address something when you're putting food on your face.
How long does it take for a pimple that you haven't touched to clear up typically?
It depends on how big it is. You know, they can linger. They can linger for like a couple of weeks.
Oh my gosh.
But it is a fact that if you pick it, it will last longer. It is a fact. I know that from personal experience.
What are different ways that we can get rid of acne scars?
If we're talking about like the kind of like pigmentation where that like mark just kind of lingers, but the acne is gone. More chemical types are best for that. Like chemical peels are really great for that. Using lighteners and brighteners can really help fade the pigmentation. If we're talking about the kind of scarring that is textured and like has left marks in the skin, the best way to soften that, you'll never fully get rid of it, but doing either laser treatments or microneedling is really great for that.
Are there any products that we can buy? Like you mentioned, lighteners and brighteners. Are those products?
Yeah, there are products that I know we carry. In fact, the Blemish and Age has some ingredients in it that can lighten pigmentation. But glycolic acid, salicylic acid. Those things can help to, lactic acid is another good ingredient to look for that can help to lighten and fade pigmentation.
When, if ever, should you use a prescription from a dermatologist for acne?
I think if you have been doing treatments and you've been using products and you're not seeing the results that you want to see, I think it would be a good time to see a dermatologist. Maybe they can give you something or kind of start you down a path that can help you explore other possibilities that are going on. Prescriptions are tough because I think for a lot of people, it's not something that they want to do long term. And so when you go off of that, for me, that's always been the case. Like the acne comes back and then it's like, so is this just a Band-Aid for this? So it's tough. I think before you just like take a prescription, make sure that your skincare routine is like the way it should be, first of all.
What do you think about Accutane?
I did Accutane too. For some people, it works really well, and they're so happy that they did it. For me, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It worked
work.
For a
what
short
happened?
Period of time, but it came back. It was persistent. And Accutane really has a lot of side effects.
Really?
A lot of side
like
effects.
Like what?
Yeah. First of all, you cannot get pregnant on Accutane. If you get pregnant while you're on it, I think they need to like do an abortion because the fetus will have like severe defects. It can also have like effects like depression. I used to get a lot of nosebleeds on it, so it can do weird things like that. Your hair can fall out. So there's a lot of like serious side effects with Accutane. But again, some people take it and they have no side effects and it works great for them.
Right. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is still popular, but I know way back when a lot of doctors would recommend birth control for preventing acne.
Yeah.
Is that still popular?
Yeah, I think it is. Or I think a lot of people are on birth control and then it just really like regulates their hormones so they're not getting acne. Or it's just like improving their skin overall. So I think that is still a thing. You know, again, like if you ever plan to go off of that birth control, you could see a fluctuation in your hormones.
Right. Moving on to winter skin, how do you treat your skin differently in the winter?
Well, I think in general, everybody tends to be a little more dry.
Right.
I think everything is just more dry. Like my hair is dry, my nails are dry, everything is just more dry. So our first reaction is to like hydrate it and put more moisture on it, but we still need to exfoliate. If you're not exfoliating properly, then you are moisturizing dead skin. So it's just like finding a balance. I'm a big fan of hyaluronic acid too, which is a humectant that helps your skin to hold on to moisture.
When do you put that on?
For me, that goes on before my moisturizer.
Okay. I had never even heard this term before, and I'm probably going to butcher the word décolletage care. Have you?
Oh, décolletage.
So, décolletage. Yeah, it's your neck.
And I'm like, I've never heard of that. Yeah.
How do you care for that area?
And that's a really good question because I think that that tends to be like a very forgotten area.
Right.
And that area ages too. So you definitely want to put your products there. You definitely want to put sunscreen there as well.
So like, where do you stop putting your products? On your body, your chest.
I mean, like, no, I tend to just like bring it all down.
Everything?
Yes, I do.
So even your face wash?
I do. Yes. Okay. Yes. Especially like if you are breaking out on your chest or if you work out a lot and you are getting sweaty on your chest, definitely bring your cleanser down to your chest. I think it's especially great if it has salicylic acid in it as well.
I need to start doing that. Yeah. I'm like, oh gosh. Because you're right. It does age fast.
Yeah.
Faster than your face for sure.
Well, I think what happens is, we're not treating it. Like we're so concerned with our face. And then, you know, when we're like 60, we have amazing skin on our face. And then our neck and chest are like creepy and old. Yes.
I'm like, I need to start caring for my hands.
Yeah. Sunscreen on your hands for sure. I carry sunscreen in my car, so when I'm driving, I like put it on my hands so I'm not getting those sunspots on my hands.
Yeah. What brand do you like?
My favorite is Ulta. I'm a diehard Ulta MD fan.
For everything, face, body, everything.
Yes. Yeah, I think they have awesome sunscreens.
Mm. What about skincare tips while traveling?
That's a good one because, and one that truthfully I am not good at because I like to bring all of my products and I end up having to check my suitcase every time.
I hate that.
I would be devastated if like they took my products. But I think those little like travel bottles are really great. Mm-hmm. And I think you can really like pare down to the basics when you're traveling.
Mm-hmm. You know? What do you think about sheet masks?
I think there are a lot of great ones out there. I think that they're also like a very big thing. And sometimes when things become very popular and very like Instagram friendly, mm-hmm. the quality is maybe not as great as the photo of it. If
right.
That makes sense.
For sure. What brands would you recommend?
I like medical grade.
Do they have sheet masks?
Yeah, there's one from SkinCeuticals that I really like. It's called Biocellulose Mask, and it's full of hyaluronic acid and feels very like cold and amazing. It's amazing after a treatment, like really good after microneedling, or if you just get a treatment that's kind of hot and it really cools, calms, and then hydrates the skin.
What tips do you have for treating eczema?
Eczema can sometimes be like more of an internal thing also. So sometimes that's like diet related, but sometimes it's just really overly dry skin. It depends on where it is on the body. I get it in the wintertime on my hands. And honestly, the best thing for it is Aquaphor. Like I load up on the Aquaphor
really?
On my hands. Yeah, it really helps.
Okay.
Which is like super cheap. One thing that you can buy at Walgreens that I love. I love it for my lips and my hands, my feet, and just like really uncomfortably dry patches of the skin.
What tips do you have for recovering from a long night out?
Do we mean like
like you wake up and your face is just puffy?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
You gotta drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of water. Cold compress, I think, is great too. Hopefully, you washed your face before you went to bed. If not, like, you gotta cleanse your face. Do a mask. That's a good time to do a mask.
Mm-hmm. Are there any skincare bloggers that you love?
I haven't really found a whole lot on blogging. I think Instagram has been a really great tool. Mm-hmm. There's a few Instagram handles that I really like estheticians who are doing a lot with Instagram. And I really like that kind of thing. I like to see professionals who are licensed and, you know, have business talking skincare.
Totally.
But I think there are a lot of people out there who have no business talking skincare, and they are. So I try to avoid stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Who are three estheticians that we should follow?
There's one that I have been following recently. His name is Matthew Miller. So I think his handle might be Matthew Miller Skincare or Matthew Miller Skin, something like that. He's really great. It's a male esthetician. I really love the stuff that he does. He does a lot of enzyme stuff. And the esthetician, who is really great, she's like in Arizona and she has a great following. She does a lot of medical stuff, so I really like following her. And a third one that might be tough. There's a lot of great ones out there. Sometimes it's easy to just like go down the rabbit hole mm-hmm. where you find one person that you like and then you follow who they follow.
Right.
And then you're on Instagram for 2 hours. Does that happen to anybody else?
I'm going to follow those too. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Do you recommend any supplements for your skin? Like I know biotin is popular. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I personally haven't gotten into supplements. I'm not good with taking things on a mm-hmm. routine basis. And I think, you know, supplements can be kind of hard because they're so unregulated. I am not a huge supplement person, personally.
Mm-hmm. What are some skincare misconceptions that we should know about?
A big one is like the natural skincare and like avoiding chemicals. I think, again, it's not so black and white. There are some really good chemicals, so don't just go down the natural path because you're avoiding chemicals. And I think that there's a lot of brands out there who are like pushing 9 million products. Your skincare routine doesn't need to be really complicated. It can be really simple. It just has to be good quality.
What is something that you are working on right now with your skin?
Always on top of the acne thing. I'm really... really on top of that all the time. I have some sun damage that I'm really trying to reverse.
Where is it?
Oh, I have some of the sides here. And like always, there's, you know, because I am so breakout prone, I always have that post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which is like the lingering mark from a breakout. Mm-hmm. So pigmentation is something that I'm always trying to target as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you do microneedling for that or laser? What style do you like to use the most?
I do it all. I do. I think the treatments are all good, just all good for like different things. Microneedling is really great for like the texture. So I do have some like texture stuff that I work on as well. Chemical peels are one of my favorites because you can just target so many things with them. IPL is a treatment that really works well for sun damage.
Last question before some rapid fire questions.
Oh boy.
What resources do you recommend for learning about skincare?
Finding estheticians who know skin and they're licensed and this is like what they do. I think following them on Instagram, estheticians, we're like happy to give information, you know, we'll give it all day long. I think we just love it so much. So I think that's the best resource.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Oh boy. Here we go.
One word to describe you.
Caring.
Your top three favorite Instagram accounts. Non-estheticians.
Oh.
Kate
Lemire for sure. Oh my gosh. Kate Lemire. She's like so inspirational and motivating in so many ways and truly just genuinely a good person. And oh my God, her baby is like the cutest little nugget I've ever seen.
I know.
I can't get enough of it. Who else? Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think Kate's my favorite.
Kate and no one else. Following one person. Besides Spa Derma, what are your favorite spas in Chicago?
If I go to a spa, I would really like more of like a body kind of experience.
Totally.
Like massage. Lately, I've been going a lot. I'm going to butcher the name of this. I don't know how to say it properly, but it's Aure.
Aure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that place. That place is amazing. And I've gotten a couple of massages there and they've been great. But like the whole bath routine.
Gorgeous.
Obsessed.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is your favorite beauty purchase for less than $10?
Lip balm.
Lip balm?
Yeah. I think for less than $10, there's a sunscreen from Elta MD that I really love. Can't live without. It's sunscreen and also has hydrating benefits. And I think that's probably about $10.
Perfect.
But it's good quality.
We'll put it in the show notes. What are three staples in your kitchen?
Water. Almonds and eggs.
Favorite restaurant in Chicago?
Avec.
Book every charge girl should read.
You Are a Badass.
I still haven't read that.
Oh my God.
I've heard amazing things.
I love it. And I like go back to that one.
Really?
A lot too, yeah. Mm.
Female you'd like to meet?
Michelle Obama.
Most out there skincare trend you've tried?
I'm not a huge one for trends. Again, acne.
Like, what about like craziest skincare thing that you've ever done?
I don't know. I've done some like pretty interesting treatments, but like amazing treatments, laser treatments. I don't know. Where, you know, your skin's like peeling and flaking and there's like the recovery time, I guess. It's probably like the craziest I get. I don't really like to mess with that.
What are you curious about right now?
I am in the middle, smack dab in the middle of a Whole30 right now.
Oh my God.
So it's a very like interesting process. I did one last year and it feels a lot easier to me this time, but I'm like very curious how much like different I will feel at the end of it.
How are you feeling right now?
Amazing. I feel great. Yeah.
Did you have any like sugar headaches or anything like that?
I didn't. The first time I did it, I did. I definitely had more side effects the first time around. So I was kind of anticipating it. But like the second time around, I feel like it's so much easier. And I know how my body feels. Also, the first time I did it, I really cut a lot of things out and never picked them back up.
Like which what?
I was like a big stevia person. Like I would put artificial sweetener in my coffee a lot. Certain like little habits. Having to have like sugar every night, something sweet. So I cut a lot of that out and like never picked it back up. Dairy was another thing. I realized that it really affected my skin actually. So I have kind of been fine with cutting that out.
Did you do the reintroduction?
I had every intention to.
You should try and do that this time.
Yeah, I had every intention to. But the last time after I got done, I was almost like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to eat. And I wasn't ready to like be off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like kind of stayed on it for several more days. And then I went to a holiday party and like ate everything, which is what you are not supposed to do.
You probably got sick.
Yeah, I felt horrible the next day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to keep me posted on that journey for sure. What is your favorite self-care practice?
I have a lot of things.
Tell me.
Working out for sure is like one of my favorite things to do. Getting treatments like massages, like body treatments, face treatments, manicures, pedicures. I really, really like to indulge in that stuff.
Mm. What is your favorite podcast?
I've been listening to Lewis Howe's podcast
a lot
recently. I love him. And I also really like Gary Vaynerchuk.
I need to listen to him.
Yeah.
A lot of people recommend him.
He's a very, like, no bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, straight to the point.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. Yeah.
Greatest lesson on wellness.
Be kind. Be kind to yourself and everybody.
Greatest lesson on romantic relationships.
Put in the effort.
Greatest lesson on friendship.
Put in the effort.
Greatest lesson on spirituality.
I think it is so important to be mindful in so many ways, like just with yourself and like taking time with yourself and being kind.
What are you most proud of from 2018?
I feel like in 2018, I really became who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And like felt very comfortable with that and just like being transparent with my struggles in my skin and like being honest about things. I feel like I really am more of who I am than I've ever been. And I feel pretty proud of that.
That's so beautiful. Do you set intentions at all?
Definitely.
What intentions are you setting this year?
Well, a lot of them. A lot of them. I think it's really important to like have boundaries, stick to the boundaries, and be okay with saying no when something doesn't feel right.
Mm.
And also like saying yes to things that you maybe wouldn't normally do, just to have other opportunities and like have opportunities to connect with people.
Mm.
So say more yes and say more no.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Boundaries are so important. We actually talked a ton about that in the past podcast that's actually going to go out right before this one.
Oh, great.
So yeah, good follow up on that. Last question. What does being hashtag in charge mean to you?
Being transparent and honest with yourself and doing what's right for you.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on. It was so fun.
Where can girls learn more about you?
Instagram is probably the best way. It's Tara_SpaDerma.
Yay. And you guys should definitely book an appointment with her if you're in Chicago, even though she fills up like months in advance.
Get on the wait list.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, girls, for listening. I will see you guys next week.
Hey, Charge Girls, good morning. Yes, I'm talking to you. It's time to get charged up, cause this day is anew. The sky says hi and it's bluer than blue. The sun is shining and all the birds are chirping too. Today is the best day to be alive. The miracles appear once you open up your eyes. Surprise! Time to keep living your dreams. So get up and join the rest of your charge team.